dollars from his rental. I'm assuming he has a Harley, I don't know.
Well, they have the toy hauler too, that they carry the bikes.
But he does have a Harley.
So does she.
Richard, you can start whenever you would like.
Okay. Well, you have any idea when they're coming?
No. I saw them at noon, and I left at one, and I told them I was coming here, so.
There's Mr. Boyce right there.
He's going to the old place.
Going to shop.
No, well, we used to have our meeting room there.
Kurt?
Court.
Court, Kurt. Hey, you.
I'm wandering around like a jerk.
Yeah, you went to your old meeting place.
Hi, guys. Good to see you.
How are you, Court? Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Once you get picked up on the tour or something.
You see the car, that's it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mr. Travis.
How are you?
Hi. Did you meet me here?
I didn't realize that you were going to be such a challenge.
Yeah.
The sausages are doggone good.
Oh, weren't they? I got a few texts.
Yeah.
JJ, he said they were. What's JJ say? He's got some crazy things. JJ. The Bulgarian sausages crawl through broken glass good. Thank you very much. I don't know if I crossed the book, I'm not for anything.
Okay, 2:00, so we'll call a meeting to order. This is a special commission meeting of the Port of Breaking Harbor Commission and the Curry County Commission on Thursday, April 11th, 2022. Danielle, we'll start with a roll call, please.
Larry?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Richard?
Here.
We have Court Boyce.
Here.
And Richard Christensen with the county. Joe Spear with the port is not present. Neither is Christopher Posh with the county or John Herzog with the county.
It's my understanding Mr. Commissioner Herzog would be here. So.
Yeah, he's supposed to be here. Something must have held him up.
Okay, well, we'll move on then. Are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
No.
Okay. Declaration of conflict of interest?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as written. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Are there any public comments online?
I did not receive any public comments.
Okay. There are no action items. That brings us to the information item. The Curry County Storm Drain Master Plan Draft, April 2022 review.
Thank you, Commissioners. Richard Christensen, Curry County Roadmaster. And Curry County, this is a product for our $294,000 project for this plan. This plan mirrors the same plans that I worked on when I worked at City of Brookings, which helps City of Brookings get a lot of grant funds, and that's the purpose of these master plans, is that we identify all the projects that we can, and we put engineering estimates on them, and then we have the Board of Commissioners adopt the plan, and it becomes a living document, and when we apply for grants, it helps raise our grant scores. As other things do too, like letters of support and things of that nature. And so in this plan, through the last 4.5 years of me working for the county and working with the harbor master and the port manager, Gary, and all the projects we've had, we addressed these projects in the plan. So there's plenty of information here about the port, and we would like you to review the plan. We sent an electric copy, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at that. Yeah, that's really important. So if we got something wrong, we need to know about that, or if we missed something, we need to know about that too, because the goal here is that we work together and apply for grants, and right now the county's, I'm working on that on your behalf, but if we, when we're ready to submit these grants, we're going to be looking for letters of support from the Board of Commissioners, and how that's going to look like is, what this plan's the final document before we get it approved is what it's going to look like. The partnership will be this. It'll be like City of Brookings. Once a private infrastructure brought up to city standards, now county standards, which would be the same basically, that I would be asking the Board of Commissioners to accept that drainage as part of our infrastructure, provided that the port would provide a easement dedicated to the county within that, for that storm drain or that sedimentation basin. What we're really looking at is there's a long history of all the gravel and debris from our Harbor Hills coming down through all the private and public and private public storm drain systems. They end up in the port, and they cost the port a lot of money to pick to get that sediment out. And what we'd like to do, the plan is, working with Dyer Engineering, is that we would put 50-year rain event-sized sedimentation spaces, so the water that's flying through the pipe in port property, there'd be a big settling box that's sized for a 50-year rain event where that gravel and silt has a chance to settle out and just clean water goes into the port. And that the road and these basins, how they'd be set up would be that we could clean them in the summertime anytime, because what we're looking at doing with the sedimentation basin is putting in the summertime that these creeks have very low flow. So where there would be bypass piping around these vaults that we could valve them off. And now when we go to muck them out in the summertime, there's no danger of any sedimentation or a plume, a dirt plume entering the port, triggering DEQ violations as we have had in the past. And so we're trying to set this up like that. So grants usually, in my experience, are require a 10.27% match, and we're looking here like $3 million worth of projects, give or take. And so we're talking a little over $300,000 in matching funds. So we need to talk about that. And then also, too, is I was kind of looking at part of the partnership is with the, once the, like the port would, part of their donation to the project would be the donation of an easement at no charge to the county, and the county accepting that easement. And that's the process I'm trying to set up. And the City of Brookings had done that successfully, like at Colvin Oil. We had a big drainage over there. And so that's what I'm trying to do. And recently, Association of Oregon Counties, for counties that had less than 200,000 population, offered $20,000 in grant support, and I applied for that, and the county was awarded. And right now, county is paying Dyer Partnership through grant to deliver several stormwater and bridge grants for us by September 8th. And I talked with Dyer, and we're not sure if the current grant package is really going to be conducive for what we're trying to do with the port, but I have it in that proposal to AOC, and you have a copy of that letter with those five projects that we're talking about. And when you, so this is kind of like those five projects, I'd like to just kind of go through this. And so basically, here's a map of your storm drain system in the master plan, and I'd like to just confirm that we have everything in here that you know of that's crossing your property. And it's all the different colors just represent the different sizes of the pipes. So if you know any other, please let us know. And then when we come over, maintenance and management, and it just talks about, well, the new equipment we just ordered. Curry County just ordered $750,000 of new equipment to help maintain storm drain systems. We ordered a brand new tractor truck, over $500,000, and a TV camera system, $185,000. And so.
That was not without a little controversy.
Yeah. A lot of work.
A lot of work.
I gave a lot of blood on that one. But anyways, it's part of the goal that it's cheaper to do preventive maintenance than to do repairs. When something breaks, you're done. You can't control cost. But if we come in proactively, change TV, see something going wrong, fix it while it's cheap, not wait until something just totally collapses. So this is talking about how the county maintenance is going to work. But when we get, I believe it's section 4, and there's not a letter in there, and there's, section 4 doesn't cover this yet. And so, but what's going to be in section 4 that you didn't see now, and I just want to bring to your attention, is that section 4 is going to be up, I'm going to have the draft language of City of Brookings about ownership, and I'm just going to mirror exactly what that is. So I'm going to, I'll go ahead and I'll email you this later. I'll leave a copy here. But basically it says, instead of this where it says city, you would say county. The city shall maintain all public storm drainage facilities located within city-owned land, rights of way, and easements. Public facilities include without limited to pipe drainage systems, their related appurtenances, which have been designed and constructed especially for use by the general, public. Roadside drainage ditches along city streets or county roads. Flow control facilities that have been designed and constructed especially for use by the general public and accepted by the city. These are those big sedimentation basins I'm talking about inside your port. Private storm drainage facilities. Private storm drainage facilities shall be maintained and repaired by the responsible party. Surface drainage channels must be kept free of debris, and maintenance activities must comply with local, federal, and state law. Storm drain pipes must be maintained to prevent failure obstruction. A responsible party within 10 days of receiving actual notice of water course drainage channel, storm drain, or drainage, or constriction, and in the event of a water course forms boundary between properties, it shall be the duty of each adjacent property to take care of their fees. So, for instance, Joe Volker, it starts up in Harbor Hills, and it crosses, and that's all private. And then it crosses Highway 101, it belongs to the State Highway Department. Then it comes into private property. And then it runs under county road, and then that section is the county, and then it runs back across the port, and that belongs to the port. Unless there's an easement dedicating it to the county, and that the county commissioners have actually accepted that easement. So,
so what are the conditions of that easement? Basically, is what I was understanding, that where the pipes and how much material is in them now, they wouldn't be accepted. What would be the acceptable standard for that easement?
Good question. So that's why we have these master plans. That's why we're going to chase grants to bring them in the county standard and to make them in a fashion that the county can maintain them. My team, we have great excavators. We have all the dump trucks and excavators and equipment. If we set a win, when I'm mobilized down here with my team, we can claim these for dimes on the dollar. You know what I mean? We were down here, we mowed in, we could probably, there was five sedimentation basins based on 50-year rain event size. We could probably clean all five in one day and be out of here. And it would be really low cost for the county, and it'd be no cost to you, provided that we had an ease, we found grant funding, we found matching funds, we completed, we delivered the project, and after the project was delivered, the port, we'd have, before the project was even started, we'd have easement documents written up for temporary construction easement, and then also the easement documents, and we would present that to you for your approval. And then once you approve those easements to be given to the county, I would take them to the board, requesting the board on your behalf to accept them. And then once the board would accept them, anything ever happens to that pipe again in the future, breaks, fails, replace, maintain, it'd be on the county. Not, it'd be no longer on the port. But say you had a 100-year rain event, and you had a 50-year sedimentation, basically on Huddle, Tuttle Creek, I believe that's a 25-year sedimentation basin. Well, guess after it was built, we had 350-year rain events. Man, a whole lot of rocks sure ended up in your port. And so the thing is that in this master plan, we want to put a second 25-year sedimentation basin closer to the outlet to, one, capture that rock between those two points. But say you had a 100-year rain event and rock came and filled both those and dumped into port, that would still be port issue to clean up. Okay, it's like an act of God.
I have a fundamental problem with that.
Okay.
And so here we sit, we're the end of the system. We cannot refuse you and say, well, you just take your pipe someplace else. We don't want them on port property.
Right.
So at every port juncture, you move them. I don't think that's feasible to do because of the fall. But yet we're somehow expected to accept everything that comes through that that we have absolutely no control of. And so we've lost docks. We've lost dock space. We're now in a situation, as Travis mentioned, we can't use our boat lift except for 3 hours a day. And we're sitting here wondering why we got to fix it.
Right.
I mean, that's the fundamental part of this. I don't think, at least for me personally, I have absolutely no quarrel at all with cooperating with the county as far as doing what you're suggesting. But I do have a fundamental issue with being responsible for whatever falls out the end of that pipe. I don't think that's our responsibility.
Man.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, when it comes to fires, as you well know, Mr. President, that you mentioned a 100-year rain event. Hopefully that didn't come the same 12 or 24 months of a 50-year fire event. And we sometimes forget how much the impact was on from the Checkerbar fire and the aggregate to come down the river. Remember that we had 10 times in the port of, you well know, Brookings Harbor. So it isn't your responsibility. It isn't the county's responsibility. I'm still working hard with the U.S. Forest Service to give us some land and make up for, and I'm being abbreviated here, make up for some of the damage that did to our county and our resources and all of the above. But, yeah, I recognize the awful position that was supported with that amount of aggregate coming down and the damage it does. And then we get in with the DEQ, and, you know, they start pointing fingers. Anyway, thank you for that.
We have a FEMA grant currently working to help with some of that sedimentation from the Checkerbar fire, and that's, you know, that's one of those situations where I think if we get those kind of events, that there may be some FEMA help coming. But that doesn't,
we hope.
Well, that doesn't alleviate the day-to-day stuff, though,
right,
that comes down. And
so I'm grateful for the FEMA portion, but I, you know, I will always present to the Forest Service that that's beside them.
Yeah.
And I think we can make that case, and we'll always be working.
You know,
agree with you.
My thing with FEMA is that I've never got a FEMA grant. They're very difficult, and but I've done FEMA projects and were awarded because a disaster declaration was called by the governor, and in 2018 we completed all those projects, but I've yet to get our 75% share back, and it's like pulling teeth, and it's a lot of red tape, and it's difficult, and so, but to get back on a subject, and so, right, so, and that's a good thing that we need to talk about, but the road department's position on this, this rock has been coming here since the beginning of time, before there was even a port. You know, before the port was even here, it was just a big rock bar. And the thing is you can't stop Mother Nature, but we can design things to help prevent that from happening. And rock and sediment is always going to go from the mountains to the ocean or to the river or the stream. And that what I'm proposing here is something to mitigate most of that. But I can't control it. I can't promise it. And, you know, and so to me, it's an act of God, Mother Nature, or what have you.
Well, so historically, drainage has ended up in the river. And the river takes care of itself. I mean, the river will flush that stuff out, and it does that every year it has. Our issue here is we interrupted that. So now we've built these closed basins where we don't have circulation and where the river can't scour it out, which leaves it up to us then to figure out what we're going to do with it. And obviously we know we have a responsibility to dredge and maintain this place as best we can, and we do that. But, you know, when we're in a situation like we're looking at down here right now, we're looking at 5,000 yards of material maybe or more that we're going to have to dredge out of there and then get rid of. I guess I would look to the county for some help with that. I don't know what it might be, hauling it off, whatever we can accomplish. But, you know, I think that's a reasonable ask.
Yeah, I believe so, too. Currently, I don't have a place to haul it to. I have in our other master plan that was completed to try to buy property. Right now, we're looking at 34 acres for Port Orford to take up there. But I'm also trying to find property down in this area because I have to have an upland spot that's not a wetland, not going to let material go back to the river, that I could have approved by DEQ, not just for just day-to-day cleaning and everything, but for when a natural disaster happens. I need a place to start putting our spoils, because we can't just, like the old days, start doing, hey, Joe, you want some, want to fill a hole in your property? Those days are over. And there's a lot of responsibility for when you're disposing things, and that is an issue, and there's a cost associated with that. And I don't have that handled yet for this area, but I think that I'm all about partnerships, and I'm all about you're a government agency, we're a government agency, and having an interagency agreement with you, and I'm all about helping you. But how I've been doing with other agencies I've worked with the last 3.5-4 years. We've done probably a couple $1 million. I'd say $1.5 million to interagency work. We don't make a dime on it. We just cover the cost of our trucks and our labor, and which is cheaper than a contractor can do it. We're not trying to make any money. We're just trying to cover our costs, and we're real super efficient and effective.
But we're not losing money either.
Well, we're not losing any money. Right. And the reason why we're able to do this is because the commissioners for the last 4.5 years have allowed me to spend money on new equipment, training, and team building. And we're now more efficient at our work, where we're open up 3-4 weeks a year where we help other people. And so all I'm looking is at recovering my cost to take care of that truck, to pay that person's labor to drive that truck. So those are the kind of things I would very much be open to and would very much support. And I haven't talked with you about that yet, but I have talked with other agencies, and I have agreements with the State Highway Department, U.S. Forest Service. You might be able to join the MORE agreement. And the MORE agreement is where cities and counties, and I don't know if districts can do it, can join where we can all help each other back and forth. Maybe there's something that the county needs from the board, equipment-wise, and maybe we might need a boat out, I don't know. But it just covers costs. And it's just a general agreement that I joined last year that 34 other counties have already joined. And there's a lot of cities, and Gold Beach just joined it. So we could be a city of Brookings. We just have an agreement that's just unique to us. A state highway department agreement just unique to us. And also U.S. Forest Service. But I would very much try to have an interagency agreement with the port someday.
Well, I think that if we're going to do easements and enter into that sort of a situation, we better have an agreement.
Yeah.
That we agree to in the context of here and now. Because what I've seen happen in the past is, you know, we're sitting here, we know exactly what we intend. But if we don't write it down, 20 years from now, somebody's going to look at that and go, well, why didn't, you know, I don't agree with this, or that's not okay. So I think it's very important when we do this, we also codify that.
Okay.
That says, okay, here's the agreement in terms of maintenance and what the party's responsibility is going to be and easements, and just get all that out there between us right now while we're talking about it, because we know what we mean. I just don't want to leave that up to interpretation for other people 10 years from now to say, well, I don't know that that's what they meant. You know, I've just seen that happen too many times. And it just, you know, the whole shoestring starts coming unraveled again. So, yeah, I would think we would look at a whole package.
Absolutely. And there'd be two packages. One would be easements for the drainage at the time of that project. And that'd be unique to that one drainage. And that would spell out everything about maintenance responsibilities, ownership, and everything, like Tuttle Creek. And so then, but the other agreement would be the interagency agreement that covers all the other, just general stuff. And so we put any kind of language in there as well. And I could forward you the information for the MOR agreement. I could also forward you a copy of the City of Brookings agreement, so you can kind of see what we have with City of Brookings.
Okay. Mr. Christensen, Larry Jonas, I have very little experience with drainage. I'm asking for an explanation just because I don't know. You keep referring to Tuttle or Turtle Creek. I don't even know where it is. But you said it starts on the other side of 101, mm-hmm. private property, goes through private, state, county, whatever, da, 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 da. And that ends up down in the port.
Correct.
Okay. So whose responsibility is it when it's on the other side of 101? Who's responsible?
Private property.
So they're supposed to maintain that waterway free of debris on their private property.
Yes.
When it goes to state land at the road, the 101, you said. So the road department then at the 101 is supposed to take care of any debris in their culvert?
Yeah, like when that sinkhole happened.
Right.
That was highway.
When it goes past that, it goes back onto private property.
Right.
Those individuals are responsible to keep that culvert clean on their private property.
Correct.
Then it goes somewhere else. So all the way down the line, there's somebody responsible for that culvert and what's going through it. Correct?
They're responsible to keep it clean and keep it moving.
Okay. So there's multiple people all the way down that line that are responsible for maintaining the culvert, what's going through it, what's coming out of it, and that it flows correctly.
Right.
Are they all doing that? Who's responsible for seeing if they're doing that and maintaining it? And if they don't, when it does finally get back down here, why can't we go back after all those people down that line and say, hey, you let all this stuff come down, you didn't stop it, you didn't clean it out, it's here. Why can't we go back to state, county, city, private, whoever's there?
That's another question for your attorney.
So, but if the culvert is buried under the ground, how are the people going to do that?
There's got to be places for that water to get into it.
There's a real incentive to keep them getting their front yard flooded.
Well,
how many culverts do you think are actually up there?
I don't know.
There's a lot of open creek beds. One of my questions would be, what about, you know, responsible for keeping it clear and moving. What about, like, erosion prevention? And are those property owners supposed to be responsible?
Oh, absolutely.
For erosion? For,
like, if they're developing and everything?
Well, even if they're not developing, even if the home's been there for 20 years, and, you know, you have this creek running through it that has just carved a ditch, you know, so high, at what point did that come into play that, you know, I know the water's moving, but you moved, you know, 30 cubic yards worth of ditch down the way to the next person. Is there, does the county, I just didn't know within the county if there was any specialty rules that when something runs through there, what exactly are the limitations?
I don't know.
I'm
not addressing that.
There are a bunch of 404 permitting requirements if you put material into a creek, but seldom is that ever applied to private individual farmers, maybe, but some guy that, you know, digging dirt in his backyard and said, I'll just go dump it down on the creek. I don't think so, but I don't, I'm relatively certain nobody's walking these drains as I'm looking at it.
No. But if there was a problem, we could address it, you know, if we knew there was a problem or whatever. But like a city of Brookings, we had ditches when I worked there that were problem areas. And I'd walk them every year, send letters and everything like that. But it was just a couple places that were kind of like hot spots. If we had hot spots, that's something we could look at. But things happen, you know. I mean, landslides happen, erosion happens, and it's all over. Everywhere. And it's like, I love Gardner Ridge, check the bar fire, it's yet to recover. And I have ditches that are cross culverts going across the road that are like Grand Canyons now because there's no, hasn't been a tree or a weed on there for the first 3-4 years. The weeds and trees are just starting to come back now. And we lost, and all that ended up down here, you know, and it's tragic, but there's a, you know, there's nothing in here for that, but it is saying that this language that I want to adopt, like City of Brookings, says that what's on your property is yours. You're responsible to keep it maintained. And in Oregon drainage law, and I'll put something in here in for Oregon drainage law, you cannot take water crossing your property and say, you know what? I don't like where it's crossing my property. I'm gonna move it over there and dump it over here on another property and cause them all kinds of problems. There's Oregon drainage law that covers that kind of stuff.
Well, I think to get us back focused on what you're talking about here, what you're proposing with drainage basins and clean outs is gonna resolve the problem. That's recognized.
To mitigate it.
That it's coming. And that's the best we can do to fix it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can spend a long time talking about what's going on uphill, and I mean, I think we all get it that there's problems, but we're going to fix that. But with respect to what you're proposing, at least from my perspective, I think, yeah, this is a good idea. We should see what you have in terms of the actual easements that you're looking for, and then go from there.
Yeah. Well, the actual easements, when we do design a project, what I could do is on the one project that we kind of helped you clean and cut the pipe and everything out here, that's one of these master plan projects, is I could have Dyer design it, what we would propose an easement for you to look at. And it's pretty typical for everything. Basically, it would have language that we could access that vault any time to do our maintenance. And typically, you know, at minimum, we want a 15-foot easement centered on the storm drain. But if it's really big, you know, I'd want a little bit bigger because someday we may have to go in there and do a major repair. And I can't have the port build a building right so close to the pipe that, wow, I can't do this now. You know, so the thing is that the little thought goes into these things based on size of pipe and depth and everything. But typically, easements run 15 feet wide centered on the infrastructure for the length of that infrastructure. So that's what we'd be looking at. And I could have one drawn up so you can see what the easement looks like. But you already have one for Tuttle Creek. And so you actually have one. Because you sent me a copy of it. I have a copy of it also. And I believe a copy of it is in this plan that you made today. And so you can see what it is and how the language works and everything. The thing is that we'll get to the next, to another section. So I went to maintenance. So basically one other thing is the next one, section six, hydrological analysis. So in the history of the Curry County Reservoir, we base things on a 25-year rain event. Okay, and but that's not working, right? And in the 17 years I lived here, we've had 350-year rain events. So I'm asking for everything that we developed in this basin, in the boat basin area, we designed a 50-year rain event to help capture that sediment better, so it doesn't get to the boat basins. And so basically on that section six, that's what I'm upgrading the county standard from a 25-year to a 50-year.
So Richard, the catch basin that you have now down at the other end?
Yes.
Is it a 25 then?
I believe so.
And is that the reason it
overflows? I believe so.
Okay.
I think that there's so much rock past it right now. And that's why when you look in this plan, there's five master plan projects, and the master plan for that Tuttle Creek is to put another basin really close to the boat launch so we can capture all that rock before it gets into your basin, would be the idea.
Great. Good job.
Yeah. And so there's that. And then Section 7, there's a section there, harbor model results, where you can kind of read about all the drainage models on these five basins. And then Section 8 is the recommended plan. And in there, it shows that Lower Harbor Road, there's five. And these five are in the boat basin. And there's like $3 million of projects right there. You can see that. And these costs you see in this plan right now, these are kind of wet, almost like an engineered wag. Okay? And so, but until you truly design a project, and there's a lot of complications in this here because you, a lot of permitting issues, right? You know, you have a lot of people that they have their hands in this pie. You start dealing with marine fisheries and DEQ, and they all put their red tape on it. And so permitting gets real expensive then. And it's real critical that we have a really good working relationship for a tribe because a lot of this is on historic tribal sites. And so it took me 2 years to get an agreement with the tribe on a bridge project. And right now, Curry County has a really good working relationship with the tribes. I'm trying everything to keep that going because that helps these types of projects. So when we come down here, there's a level of trust. And so so that's Section 8. We have you in there. And then when you go to Section 8, you'll actually see a 1C wonder that shows your project. Okay. And one thing you don't see in there in those five projects is it's going to say, funding. It's going to be based on obtaining grants. And because there is no funding. Who has $3 million, right? And so, but maybe $300,000? You know what? Maybe we can make something happen. And then Section 9 is the project cost summary where all the different grants and financial strategy and stuff. And so anyways, one thing I'd like to add is those five projects, if you could say which in a priority, which one's your highest priority, second, third, fourth, fifth, So that way, when we're looking for money, we know which one to attack first. And it also, grants are highly competitive, and we've been doing really good with grants lately, just being honest. We've been killing it. And
brag a little bit.
We've been killing it. I can't believe we got, just because of second grant, there was only $8 million available in the whole friggin' state, and we got almost $3 million of it. We're going to get a fridge replaced and a bridge repaired.
And two different projects.
Yeah. So this 20,000-30,000 person county. And then we got another, then we got a flap grant. We got a $3.85 million flap grant. And earlier we had another $2.6 million bridge grant. But these are, that's why these plans are so critical. And also, what's really important is that we have really good working relationships with the tribes, with everybody, the state, and because these folks are looking at, you know, they're on these boards. They're saying, who's going to get this grant, you know? And so it's really important that we all work together and, you know, and we keep focused on the goal.
Travis, in terms of priorities, are any of these going to be under the area we're going to pay and improve for the year's purchase?
Yep. I would have to sit down and look at through them. I know the one that ends out in the barge basin, let me see if I can find this map here. There's one that comes across by Portside Suites that comes through and dives out of the barge basin, which I don't see it on here. But there's one there that would be a priority as far as with the FEMA project. The Bogart one, I think that's where that's at, is out of that zone. So it'd just be the one there that would impact the FEMA project. That would
want to be done. So that would be our highest priority then.
Okay.
To get it done immediately. So part of this FEMA project that we're going to eventually start next year, I guess, hopefully.
Yes. But I want to make sure we're clarifying this. The grant stuff that you're going after, it's going to take care of the infrastructure that's coming across the county road and basically be stuck. You're not taking over our pipe that goes the rest of the way. That's not your intention, is it? Or is your intention?
The board, when I first came working at the county, asked me to help the poor. And so, and this is what I've done. So the board wants me to help the poor. And so that's what I've done. So what I'm looking at is that the whole piece of pipe from the county right away all the way where it dumps in the basin, or is the master plan project to get it sized properly. If it's not sized properly, if it's in bad condition, get it replaced. If it needs a sedimentation basin, get a sedimentation basin on it. And then after all that work is, you know, we work together on that, we get the project delivered, and after that project's delivered, that the county, that the port commissioners approve giving the county an easement, and that the county then accept the easement and that infrastructure into our inventory, and then it becomes a piece of county responsibility.
Yeah, so then it would be the one by Portside Suites would be have the most impact, and then I would say this one right here by our port office that dumps in, and then the boat yard. That would be 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
I know you have other ones, but those three would be the biggest ticket items I would say should be tackled first.
Okay.
From our perspective.
And that's easy to do. It's easy to prioritize them. And so, but can it be done in a year before year? You know, no. You know, it'd be just being honest with you, because the grant we were just awarded yesterday, we applied for that last year, and it's not going to be delivered. It's not going to start engineering until 2025 to be delivered in 2027. say. So you're talking about 5 years from now. So it's, but you're getting 10 cents on the dollar.
Well, we're obviously going to have to go ahead with the FEMA project as it comes online, and that includes a lot of work down here for our own storm drainage issues, which we're trying to fix. So it includes paving and building roads and diverting drainage so that we can control it better, and also paving the boatyard itself.
So if you know what you're going to do there, you probably don't have an engineer or designed yet.
We do.
You do?
We, at our next meeting, we should be approving, well, we'll be looking at approving the final FEMA drawings, construction drawings. So then we will have a set of engineered plans of what it's going to, you know, each section is going to be.
Is this storm drainage part of the trunk line coming across that's being replaced, or just lateral?
No, it's laterals that, laterals to existing and some new.
So this is what I would suggest, is that you send that to me, I forward to Dyer to get it in the plan, and we make sure that those connections into that trunk line, you know, try to build it to where we can accept it in the future. You know what I'm saying?
Would that be an add-on to the Dyer contract cost?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, there would be some review costs, but I think they could absorb it in the $294,000 that we've already paid.
We can ask.
Yeah, I think the budget's running good for this master plan, and this part is this, everything we're talking about here is in that budget. So I think.
So they wouldn't anticipate a surprise invoice, though?
No, yeah. No. And we were going to get an invoice anyway. We had anticipated that, so I think what's most important is that we have the most accurate master plan as we possibly can, and we look at the future, that everything we do is pointed towards that direction. And so that's just a suggestion, is what I would do. You know, if you don't want to send your business, I'm cool with that too. But I just.
Well, I think it'd be a great idea, and, you know, as far as what we have, what we have to offer, I mean, we paid a lot of money for the engineering on that, which would just, in the long term, being shoved into your plan would probably save, you know, be no more added cost for them to figure out once you got to that point.
Oh.
It would be done.
Perfect. And I think your engineer, if he hasn't reviewed this draft yet, because this has the calculation of the pipe that he's connecting to, the flow calcs, and that may be important to him to know that. And so, as Dyer, I did a study of all the drainages above the basin here, because you have five different creeks, right, five different drainages, and they encompassed those drainages and said, okay, if a 25-year rain event fell on there, what size does that pipe have to be? If it's a 50-year rain event, what size does that pipe is? And so all five of these creeks, they've done the flow calcs based on the size of that drainage basin. So, which is really good information for your engineer, you know, when he's connected to the pipe, if there's a lot of extra capacity or not. And so.
Got it.
So this is, and we're putting a lot of money and time and effort into this, and I'm going to just be honest with you, when I first came to the county, we had a 2005 Harbor Storm Drain Master Plan done that the county and the city got a grant and paid half and half for it, and I was working at the city at the time. I had a ton of friggin' master plan projects in there. We got a ton of grants. I came to work for the county, and I met you. Problem. I go, you know what? I'm going to go in the master plan. I'm going to see these problems. Not one was identified in the plan. Okay, that plan is only 17 years old, but it was only like 15 years ago when we first started talking. I'm going like, how can a 30-year-old problem not be in a 15-year-old plan? You know what I'm saying?
Well, we need to give you a litany of 30-year-old problems that we inherited that we didn't know about.
See, it's like garbage in, garbage out. And this is a document that has a lot of power if we take the time and put the information in. And I'm desperately trying to do that. And that's part of this conversation we're having here, because I need your information, because and you go chase a grant, it may be something else, and if it's in here, you know what I mean, it helps maybe help your grant score.
Yeah, we have some experience with having that kind of stuff in hand in terms of going after grants and getting approval for things. But you're right, if you're ahead of it and you already addressed the problem and looked at it from a planning perspective, it raises your score a lot. So, I sit on a board that approves grants, and it's the same thing for us. I mean, you come in and say, yeah, I'd like to do this, and then we'd ask you, well, what's it going to look like? What's it going to cost? Well, I don't know yet. You're going to be fairly low on the totem pole compared to somebody else who said, no, here it is. It's right here. So.
I have one question.
Yes.
Do you, a 25-year retention pond would be obviously smaller than a 50-year, et cetera. Do you have any idea what the size of the footprints would be for the 25, a 50?
No. No, it hasn't been engineered yet. If you look at the page, you'll see the location that's being proposed for each of these basins. And you know, these are just proposed. And so we'd want to find places that you thought were acceptable to you so that, you know, because you have your master plans, right? But you like to develop how you want to develop. So we just want to make sure that, you know, you look at this first and kind of go like, you know, that looks like a fair enough spot. And right now, like I said, this is just a WAG cost. You know, you're not going to go do full-blown engineering until you actually get the grant. And unless you have some money where you can actually do full-blown engineering and do all the permitting and then apply for a grant, you know. But that's hard, you know. And so, but the 36-inch drain, we have almost all the engineering complete. But, you know, that one there, to me, would be, like, number one because it's a lot of money's already been put into developing that project. Because we started working on that almost 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I hired Dyer at that time out of my road fund budget.
Which one is the 36-inch?
The one that goes right by your port office.
By the office. Okay.
Yeah, and that's in this plan.
All right. So
that's all I got.
Okay. Sir?
May I quickly, Mr. President? First, I've got to see who I am here. Oh, no, wrong guy.
Down the door.
No, thanks for the invite. Thanks for setting up a very nice meeting facility here. And although without Commissioner Herzog here and Fort Manager Dillinger, where do I inquire about a refund?
Well, are you aware Fort Manager Dillinger is no longer Fort Manager Dillinger?
I did not know.
No. As of Monday.
Okay. Thank you. I won't ask any questions.
So okay. We are in the process of initiating a search for a new port manager.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So the ports are a soft spot with me. And it's a source of pride for this county. I've lived my whole life and watched them grow and struggle and some of the issues that all three of the ports have. You know, you mentioned the aggregate, and wow, it's a frustrating thing for all of us. You know, Greek, the central port there, Gold Beach, is moving 200,000 cubic yards now. So it's taken us 3-4 years to get the dredge back. And boy, how's hurt our sport fishing business. And just pull up here and see all the cars. Tell Mr. Hartman here that, wow, that's a great thing to see. So I'm going to be here anytime I can be, every time I can be, to connect with the ports and, you know, show appreciation for the volunteer spirit that you all do. It's, you know, no undue flattery here, but this is the most stable Brookings Harbor port I've seen in years and years. And so you need to hear that, because I know you don't get any compensation whatsoever. And so, you know, I see my job to support the effort since he's come on board over 4 years ago. Trust is everything to him, and he worked very hard to establish that. And, you know, with different agencies, different entities, and he really, I don't hand out compliments, it's very easy, but just watch him grow with his crew and his, certainly the grants. And so we're just here to help any way we can to support, and we're involved, and to just show that support. So That's all I wanted to say, and I appreciate you getting the input.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Well, the only thing I have to ask, Richard, is if you do obtain some property somewhere where some of this material can be put, would you please keep us in mind for that?
Yes, and if you know somebody that has some upland acreage that the Curry County Road Department could buy, I'll put it in my budget next year and start working on that.
Guarantee it's not her front yard.
But he desperately needs something for the long-term health of the road department. And
we already have a big pile from 7 years ago, and now we have another one that's coming. So,
well,
yeah.
I have made a space in my yard that has a lot of space, and you know, we can look at that and how big your pile is, and I can maybe look at that and see what the cost would be to haul that, and we can do it, get an interagency agreement going as soon as possible.
Good.
And look
Sounds
at that.
Great.
And so
Thanks.
Travis and show me the pile, and I'll take someone over there that kind of look at it and say, it's not that big. And then we'll figure out how many trucks it takes to do something like that.
Great.
But see, we'd have to haul all the way to Gold Beach. And diesel's crazy cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
$5 a month.
Yeah. So,
can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Have you guys gotten a chance to go around the ports and see the problems that they have where the stuff is dumping and the problems it's causing?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually fish out here all the time. I love this place.
Oh, so you're ragging or complaining?
I love it.
Oh, no, he's
ragging. No, I was complaining when DEQ gave us a Class 1 violation. That
we still got a bone in our throat with that.
I'm still
9,000.
I got heartburn. I'll never get over that.
Yep.
Well, we speak very reverently here about DEQ. We know them.
Know them very well.
On several issues.
Yeah.
Including the fish processing plant and other things.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I still kind of want to branch off on a little topic just to kind of talk about the American Rescue Plan funds that are still out there. We watched one of your meetings that said you guys were trying to maybe allocate $50,000 to each port.
We did.
You did?
Yeah, all we got to do is get you a check.
Okay.
And so I was working with Mr. Dillinger on that, and so I can do a follow-up.
It would be great. We haven't received, I'm monitoring Derek's email yet,
right.
And I haven't seen anything yet with that. And I know with the issue and where we're at right now with the culvert by the Travelist, we're going to have to get that taken care of this winter in our in-water work period. And we're hoping, one of my suggestions would be to use some of that money to take care of this problem.
If it's generally, you know, we're a little bit lenient there. If I could just rewind just a little bit, Port of Gold Beach, you know, had a serious infrastructure problem. Most of the ports along the Oregon coast were, you know, the big decks were built back in the 60s. And so they discovered a serious problem and they came to us. And I've been turned down by the board two different times for actually $75,000 for each of the three ports. And so they approved the $50,000 for Port of Gold Beach. And that opened the door to say, okay, we've got to be fair here. So that's why we were able to get Port of Gold Harbor and Port of Brookings Harbor with the $50,000. So where we are right now with the Port of Gold Beach, we're trying to make a little bit flexible on the reporting requirements, and I think we'll be fine on that. So, but generally needs to be on an infrastructure project, anything that's, you know, and I think that's where you are on that. So we'll send you some more information on it too. But it's not a big set of hurdles in a general sense.
I think that's probably why we were a little stunned to see that it was not going to be allowed for the treatment plant. That is the biggest infrastructure project we've got going down here.
The weird thing is, Dillinger sent a letter where the board supported that project just several months ago. And I'm sitting there shaking my head, guys, you know, we just they just approved that. So, well, you know, leave the door open there. I don't think there's going to be any
blame. I'm to blame.
For some background, just so you know, we talked to the city of Brookings a long time ago about hooking into their system and also to Harbor Sanitation. And the reply from the city of Brookings, as I remember, is, well, you need to do a feasibility study that's going to cost us around $30,000 for us to tell you yes or no. And so from that perspective,
it's closer to
$50,000. From that perspective, and looking at the capacity issues that Harbor already has, it was a lot more feasible for us to say, let's go see, same as you, let's go see if we can find some money. And Congressman DeFazio delivered on that.
Yeah.
So the other issue about that is that we haven't approved the plan or the design yet, but it's a modular design, so we can add pieces if necessary. One of the issues about hooking up to the city is, you know, right now we have one processor here, but there's a potential with a plant like this that other processors may be interested in coming in here.
And Brookings can't take
it. It's much better for us to be able to say, we can control one of your problems, which is trying to get rid of this stuff. And we're only treating to the standard we have to meet with DEQ. But I can tell you, there would be some issues with taking the effluent out of that and putting them in a city sewer system, because I don't think they're at all prepared for that stuff.
From what I understood, it would require pre-treatment regardless if you went into that system, which it wouldn't, our theory on doing it, if we're going to run it through a pre-treatment, we are going to go the extra mile and just treat it
right
to the water quality.
The reason why this, haven't heard Commissioner Herzog asked me, because I worked at the city of Brookings for 12 years, okay? I never operated the wastewater plant. That plant's a Ferrari, okay? In Brookings. It was built to handle all their effluent plus crazy inflow infiltration. Their sewer system was leaking so bad that groundwater was just going in all the joints of the pipes. Was dropping in all kinds of broken pipes, manholes. People didn't have the sewer clean out. They had their houses, drains, roof drains hooked to it.
Excuse me for interrupting. What was the year on that?
What?
That it was so bad that you're
talking about. It was pre, you know, like 2000, like before I got here, 2005.
Okay.
And then with Gary Milliman, master plan, identifying all these INI projects, we fixed them. And hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, relining these pipes, relining these manholes, doing smoke testing, getting house roof drains off our sewer system and into the ditches and creeks. And there is, from what I remember, there was huge capacity left. And you got a treatment plant that's a Ferrari up there. And that's from what I was told by the engineer, that this plant is one of the best plants. This is Dyer.
Right.
And so, anyway, so he asked me that, so that's what I told him. I go, I think their city has huge capacity, and they would love to have this thing, because it'd be revenue for them, and it's sitting there.
Is that what you're hearing?
The city is. And so, I don't know.
The city of Brookings has just basically said they're not at the ability.
Who said that at the city?
Tony Barron. We had a meeting with Tony Barron and Janelle both about it at a few months ago.
Wow.
And at any point, they just were not willing to give up actually really any information without the study being done.
I would talk with city manager Milliman.
And so, and then, you know, the other thing is, too, we have pretty good concrete costs of what Harbor Sanitary, who we ultimately pay for the service here. And when you weigh those costs over a 60-year lease that Pacific Seafood has with us versus weighing costs of a treatment plant basically being paid for and running the cost to run that, those numbers have came out significantly lower than having it treated in Brookings, too. So,
there was a study done then?
They're based upon numbers that are given to us now.
Yeah.
Given numbers of sewer numbers,
yeah.
Sewer rates that have been going over there,
right.
Versus looking at plants of like kind and they're running by an operating numbers. I mean, it's quite a bit different.
I can't talk for the city.
Yeah, I know, and I'm not asking for that.
At this point, it's water under the bridge. We have the grant.
And there is a risk of losing it if we're not careful, correct?
Yeah.
So the wastewater treatment facility, I mean, we need it. You know, I don't want to sound like I got any kind of authority.
I don't have a dog in the fight.
Well, yes, we do, in the sense that they're hearing something different, Brookings, and that's what I'm hearing also. And you have a
I have a different experience, but I didn't run the plant. I ran the sewer system outside of the plant. I didn't run the plant, okay? But was I around people that ran the plant? Did I know why we did what we did to get rid of the INI? Yes, and I believe there's huge capacity there, I believe, but I don't know about cost for effluent from that plant to the city plant,
right.
What those are. So, you know, I understand that you have to look at long-term costs and what's most cost-effective. I do that as well. So, anyways,
let us know how we can help.
I think that before to talk with Commissioner Herzog, why you need what you want, but so I was part of that, so my apologies, just being honest with you.
Well, we're moving on, and so we're about to get our combined coming up, so we're close to the point of saying, yes, we have a design now, so then we can roll with it.
Right.
But that's been the issue, you know, from the beginning, is what were we going to design, what was it going to look like, what was it going to do, and our engineer's been pretty darn involved, and he's even gone to Israel to look at plants
Wow.
that he thinks might be working. So. Okay, anything else?
On the ARP funds, the $50,000 is, you know, I hear what you're saying, but also, too, is, you know, we're talking about grants here, matching funds and stuff like that, so maybe consider that, too. It's like, well, this has to be, you know, matching, using that $50,000 towards.
We were intending to use it as match for the plant.
Okay.
That's what we were thinking. That would be, because that is an infrastructure.
Absolutely.
Piece, and this is infrastructure. So we thought, well, that would help us with coming up with our match for the money. That's why I say I was a little shocked to see that there was a stipulation on that that we couldn't use it.
Okay.
Because I thought that would have been boom, boom. Infrastructure, here's a grant, apply to infrastructure. So. Okay. Well, all right. Thank you very much.
Cool.
I appreciate it.
You didn't want to talk about your bullets?
Oh, we kind of did.
The overview?
Okay. We kind of did.
I think we covered it. Something to think about, I guess, is with the culvert at the boatyard, the way it goes and the natural flow keeps coming back in there, what's the likelihood of turning that? Right?
Where's the boatyard?
It's where the travelift ramp is. With the 84-inch culvert down there in the boatyard,
yeah.
that comes out. And I can talk to you about it later too, but what's the chances of maybe putting like a 45, I know it's a huge 45, but turning the water so it's not directly dumping out into the traveler? I'm just wondering, is that even a doable thing?
I think we could look at that. You know, that'd be a good thing to reply back. In Dyer, Andy Hall at Dyer, who's the engineer of this plant, I had asked him before I came here today to email you another electronic link to it in case he hadn't looked at it yet, and also for you to be respond to him directly with a suggestion like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Could you even just put a paddle in?
That's the only thing I would say, just something that might just turn the water and shoot it slightly more away and keep that flow.
Redirect.
I can, I'll utilize that email. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So that means our next regular meeting is Wednesday, August 17th, 2022 at 2 p.m. And with that, we will adjourn.
I'm going.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you
for coming. And thank you for looking at the file.
Yeah.
Let's see if I get
Danielle.